listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 360. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey, 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 you amazing human, and welcome back to another awesome podcast episode. I hope you're having a brilliant start to your week. As a gentle reminder, we all need leads, and we all equally need Wendy Breakstone in our world, who is my guest today on the podcast talking about email lead generation and AI marketing strategies. We talk today on the podcast to you about building your list. What are the benefits? How is AI helping businesses build email lists? And she shares with you a very fun and new way to grow your email list that I have not heard anyone talking about. And it might just tickle your fancy to add this strategy to your own lead generation strategy. So buckle up and get ready for an awesome episode with Wendy around email lead generation and AI marketing strategies. Here we go. Hey, 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 welcome to the show, Wendy.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this for weeks now.
Oh my goodness, well, I am just so excited because we've only recently kind of come into each other's worlds. I mean, yes, we've been friends on Facebook, but you know, when you just kind of scroll and then you scroll a little more and you're just like, okay, you know, and then all of a sudden I started reading some of your stuff and then I reached out to you, started to get to know you a little bit more. And what I really love is just that you use simple language for people is what I found. And your knowledge around lead generation, but also AI marketing strategies doesn't have to be complicated, you know, much to what I feel the internet says. And so as I've been watching you, I was like, oh, I've got to have Wendy on the podcast because like I said, you're knowledgeable, but the way you explain things I find is super easy. And I think that's what most people are just wanting. They don't want to feel like they're dumb. They don't want to feel like things are overcomplicated and they just want to get to the point. And that's what I like, kind of cut through the fluff, get to the point and are super helpful. So really excited to have you here today.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, like you said, like systems and being simple are often two things that don't go together. And in my world, systems should be so simple. As simple as your system for brushing your teeth, mm-hmm. all of your business systems, including lead generation, like we're talking about today, can be simple. Mm-hmm. It's our minds that make everything so dang overcomplicated.
100%. And then they did, and it's because so much of that, you know, subconscious stuff that's going on behind the scenes, right? The fear of being seen, the fear of being failure, fear of this. And then we overcomplicate ourselves into like this hot mess. And so, like I said, when I saw your stuff online, I was like, listen, she seems like a good person. She seems super knowledgeable. When I reached out, I was like, yes, she's friendly. You know, that's always my ticker. As long as they're friendly and kind, I was like, so let's bring her on the show. But before we hop in, I always like to ask a fun question of my guests so that the audience can get to know you a little bit better. So my fun question to you is, I know recently you just watched the AC/DC documentary on Prime. So I'm curious to know what you love most about it.
You know, I have been a huge like 80s metal fan and I grew up in the 80s. It's my genre. Yeah. And I really loved how they just talked about how much fun they had as a band when they were really in it. You know, they had some losses. They lost their lead singer early on, right after their first album came out and right before my favorite album that they did, Back in Black, they got a new lead singer and they really gelled together and like came back from that adversity and put out like one of the best albums that I think is ever been made, which is Back in Black. That's my theme song. That's my go-to song.
Absolutely love it. And was the production of the show on Prime good? Was it like, you know, like how did you find the overall, do you know what I mean? Was it just like, or was it just fun to kind of relive the 80s?
You know what? For me, it's always just fun to relive the 80s. And it felt very like documentary style. And it was shot, you know, kind of like film style.
Sure.
So it didn't have a lot of like pomp and circumstance to it. Mm-hmm. But I just loved seeing like the old concert footage and everything. It just really, it just felt so much fun. And if people love AC/DC and love that genre, it's just a really great documentary to watch.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, there's also something that we were talking about in my mastermind this week was around fun. And where are people having fun in their world? Where are they not having fun? You know, wherever, right? And I just think that in our fast-paced world and being an entrepreneur, again, where are you infusing fun, right? What does that look like? And I think that's a whole nother conversation for another podcast, but I think it's important to draw. Fun is something a lot of people are missing. You know, life's too short, really, for not having fun. Now, the listeners out there today might not know who you are, because I've got a variety of guests that we bring on from all around the world. So in a simple nutshell, tell us a little bit about what you get up to for your business.
So business-wise, I'm a lead generation strategist and AI marketing consultant, and I work primarily with online coaches and solopreneurs who really oftentimes feel like the best kept secret, or they have a small list and they really want to step into the spotlight so that they can help more people. And with the strategies that I've learned and, you know, practiced for years, what I teach seems to really resonate with them.
Love it. And that is why we are here today. Good old email marketing, you know, it is always seems to be a hot topic. There's always a debate about it. But the thing I'm hearing most this year than probably any other year in business, and I've been in business now since 2010, so 14 years, is I'm hearing a lot on the street about you don't need an email list anymore. And I personally have opinion about this, but I won't share it quite yet. I'm curious to know, for someone who's in this space every single day, living and breathing it, how important in today's current landscape is building an email list, if any?
You know, honestly, in all honesty, I believe that growing your email list is your most profitable marketing and business asset. It's the only thing besides your intellectual property that you truly own and can take with you as you grow your business. Everything else is rented land. Like you said, it's not something that we can own or that we can control. And so I feel like the email list, it's old school. Some people feel it's not sexy. Some people have trouble with the algorithms. But look, at the end of the day, like if you compare the reach of a single email that you send to your list and open rates against like what you'll get with reach or visibility in a feed on any social channel, email is always going to win. It's just hands down, it's the best channel you can use for winning in the inbox and for making like profit.
And listen, this is probably why we're friends now. Do you know what I mean? Just kidding. But I couldn't agree more. The importance of an email list, not only to run your business on a day-to-day, but if you're ever planning on selling your business collectively, owners are looking for that. It's a significant asset. I know with my first business, Finley and Me, we had over 50,000 people on our email list. We actually chose not to sell that business for a variety of reasons. You know, I was too infused in it, et cetera. But, you know, just our email list alone had come back at a $200,000 valuation, right? Because at that stage for the market, because it was e-com baby, it was like worth $4 or $5. I can't remember exactly per lead, right? Yep. And so like, it's not just what's in front of you now. It's if you choose to sell later on, it is a massive asset. You know, there's also, you know, let's dive in there too. We'll talk about some of the benefits. What are you seeing? Like, what are the primary benefits of building and growing that email list? I know you've already talked about you own it, it's an asset, but what other, you know, things do you see?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it gives you control. And as a business owner, if you are waiting around and doing what I call reactive marketing versus proactive marketing, that's not a recipe for sustainable long-term success or growth. That's just the reality. Mm. And when you can get into somebody's inbox, and yes, it is a personal place. And a lot of people have a lot of very strong feelings about their inbox. They're very protective over it. Mm. And you know what? Those people can always feel free to unsubscribe if they want to. But for those people who really resonate with you and your message, who you really can help, showing up in their inbox, and even if they don't open your email, even if they just see your name 100%. For that moment in your inbox, so, so powerful. It just really is.
That's the thing. People forget about the micro, what I call breadcrumbs, right? Mm-hmm. And so the micro breadcrumb one is that you said they haven't even clicked open, but it's still another email from Angela Henderson. You're leaving a little breadcrumb, you're leaving a little imprint into their brain. And over time, if you're then on a podcast, if you then do a social media share, if you're then at a speaking event, people might not have ever bought from you, but they're like, oh, Angela Henderson, I know her. I think I know her, even though they've never fucking done anything, right? And so the thing is that there's these micro things, do you know what I mean, in our world that people forget and how important that they really are. And so, and for me, emails this year, over the last, you know, year when I've been doing so many partnerships, I've also been really testing media buying. And so I'll reach out to people outside of the partnership realm and just be like, hey, do you have an email list? And they'll say, yay. And I'll say, do you ever do like solo emails? Like, you write them. I don't touch your email list. I don't get access. That's illegal. But I was like, would you, do you mean promote my silent retreat, or would you promote my conference? And they're like, I didn't even know that was an option. And I was like, yeah, it's like, how big is your list? And then I'll negotiate. Like, this one lady's doing something for me. And I was like, I'll give you $150 for a solo email. And she's like, wow. She's like, oh, okay. She's like, and I said, you know, I'm even happy to write the copy. I'll write it in first person. I said, and then you can tweak it. Do you know what I mean? A little bit more about you, you know, so you don't have to do anything. And she's like, really? And people are like flabbergasted. Do you know what I mean? That this isn't even an option. And so they're like, yeah, sure. They're like, actually my audience, it's obviously we need to make sure we connect, and that it's not like if it's a gardening email, I'm promoting, I don't know, socks. Like, there needs to be, you know, congruency there. But if there's congruency, I did that a lot last year, and it was brilliant because it was actually, I could get a better cost per lead doing it that way. And they were already warmer because someone's like someone's putting my name out there on my behalf. So there's like an association trust that builds there versus it being a Facebook ad and it's a cold and you've got a warm nurture, right? So I had phenomenal results. So again, if you've got a really great email list, you know, there could be other ways that you can monetize it if you chose to. Not everyone will. But yeah, there's like I find the benefits are endless with an email list.
Oh, 100%. And also, when you really start to like drill down and use your email list for good, right? Yeah. For good, not evil. Yeah. And you start to create those partnerships and you start to see how you become, like you just said, like edified by the person that's sending it out, that automatically makes you warmer in the minds and hearts of those people, right? You've already started to cross that barrier of entry. And so it just reduces the barrier. It's like the door becomes open for you. Mm. And then email becomes your biggest profit stream. Your people think like, and I say this all the time, followers are not leads until they're on your email list. Mm-hmm. Somebody that likes your post or says that they love your shirt or you look pretty, those aren't leads. Those are just random people. Until you can control the conversation, which you can do with email, they're not a lead. And it's so important to really be able to differentiate that, because a lot of people say like, well, I've got 10,000 people, I got 100,000 people on IG or wherever. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a 1% of those people may see your post and may take action on it. Like, scrolling is, you know, it's not a way to guarantee leads, in my opinion.
No, 100%. And it's getting, I mean, there's no real estate left anywhere, right? Like, people, unless you're paying to play, it is getting harder and harder. So it's like growing your email list and having direct access to someone's inbox, to me, is imperative. It's like a direct way for a conversation to have. There's no other direct way. So, all right. Now, we've been talking about visibility. And I always talk often on the podcast, there are three ways to gain visibility: organic, partnerships, and paid. And many people will rely on organic methods for many different reasons, but specifically more, especially when they're just in those startup and growth stages financially, it's just that they're putting money elsewhere, and that's okay. But with the organic, you know, they do rely on, you know, how to explain this? They rely heavily on that social media again to grow their email list. But, you know, should they be focusing just on social media to be growing their email list, or is this hurting their chances of growing their email list? Like, talk to me a little bit more, because I just hear all the time about, well, on social media. I'm like, yeah, but are you actually checking the ROI associated with all this stuff you're doing on social media? Like, are you looking at your Google Analytics? Are you really diving deep? Because just because you're on social media doesn't mean anything. So I'm curious to know, like, you know, are you seeing this focus on social media too? And is it helping them, hindering? What are your thoughts?
Oh my gosh, I have a lot of thoughts on this. And so one of the things that you just said that kind of made me chuckle is like, well, have you started to measure the ROI? But there's something, there's an even greater problem, in my opinion, with focusing too much on social media. And that is your ROTI, your return on time investment.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Not just the money that you plop down or pay for ads or whatever, right? But the time investment is something that we just cannot get back. Mm-hmm. And we don't even realize how much time we're spending on social media in the name of, quote, growing our business. It's not really growing our business. We've just become trained and addicted to this model of, well, if you post more, well, if you show up more, well, if you like more and, you know, whatever. In my opinion, that is not the way to grow. And I love to, you know, encourage people to focus on email, not so that they can leave social media, but so that they're not up at night worrying about social media. Like if you're up in the middle of the night worrying about your business, worry about if that email is ready to go out, not if you posted the next week of content. Because dollar for dollar, an email that you send out to your list is going to pay off more than any amount of posts that you can ever do. Because like you said, real estate is full, right? It's a red ocean. There's no space, but there's still space in the inbox. I just had an event called Ditch the Algorithms, Win in the Inbox. It was all about making email marketing your number one profit stream for this very reason, because there's no space in social. And if you're going to spend time there, it needs to, we need to like return to fun. Like how can we make it so that social media is a nice to have or optional, but not that we're dependent on it. And we've become dependent on it and believe that. And it's just not, it's not the way to grow your business.
And I'm glad that you brought up the return on time investment, because I ask a lot of my clients to track their time when they first start with me. So it's very, data doesn't lie. And so it's very humbling. Do you know what I mean? When they go, oh, I've actually spent 25 hours this week on social media. And I'm like, and how's that going for you? Do you know what I mean? Like, how's that really going for you? And they're like, and I was like, even if you took five of those hours and you did outreach, do you know what I mean? Or connected with people, you know, or you went to a networking event, or the list goes on. All right. I was like, you probably have a little bit more luck. But as you said there's a key thing that you said is around addiction. Mm-hmm. The addictive behavior associated with our, with the technology and the use of phones is crazy. It is actually next level. And it is, I think, damaging so many people. And so when I work with the business owners and then they come in, and not only is it just like how much time they're wasting, but it also actually starts to compromise their connection with family, their connection with kids, creating memories, because they almost become so fucking obsessed, do you know what I mean? That everything they've got to be on there or else they're not going to get a sale. And so trying to undo those beliefs has been very tricky. So, you know, I encourage the listener now to get your phone out, and not if you're driving, obviously, but, you know, check your phone and see how, what's like, what's your average daily screen time? In my mastermind, the average daily screen time is like 4.5 hours.
Crazy.
Now, sometimes, like I know as a consultant myself, I am on it because I might be looking at someone's strategy. So I think my numbers are slightly skewed, but have a look, because I don't think it's a healthy thing for you to be doing, not to mention the return on time investment and your overall or, you know, overall ROI. So yeah. I'm glad again, we got that one out of the way. Now, I know today isn't all about AI, but when we are talking about email marketing, I think it's important to, do you know what I mean, at least start having these conversations. You can't ignore AI.
Attention, women in business, get ready to ignite your success and elevate your game. Join me for an exclusive 3-day Women in Business conference from October 31st to November 2nd at the breathtaking Gold Coast, Australia. Designed exclusively for online business owners, service-based business owners, coaches, consultants, and course creators. What to expect at this amazing 3-day Women in Business conference? Expect an immersive experience filled with fun, empowering keynote speakers, interactive workshops, networking opportunities with other successful business owners. Gain valuable insights, forge meaningful connections, and leave inspired to take your business to new heights. 12 speakers have already been announced, with 5 more speakers being announced shortly. We have Steph Taylor joining us, Anita Seek joining us, Lisa Cordiff joining us, and not to mention Maddie from Sound Healing Australia, who will be there for the most magical sound healing experience ever. You do not want to miss the event of the year for women in business. To secure your ticket, head to angelahenderson.com.au today.
And so what are your thoughts about businesses using AI to grow their email list? Is this an option? And if so, should they be doing it, not be doing it? Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I will say that I am a huge like tech head and I love AI. I believe that if people aren't using AI in their business, ultimately they're spending more time than they really need to. So when you think about AI, I like to look at it through this lens. Mm-hmm. How can we use AI in our businesses, in our own marketing, and in our programs, products, and services to help our clients get results faster? Mm-hmm. And so I always try to think about it through that lens. And so what that looks like to me, for instance, in my programs is I have AI-built GPTs, pre-trained chat GPTs that I give my clients in my program that save them time on writing emails, that save them time on the creative thinking so that they can see what they need to faster and get into action more quickly. So I believe 100% that people should be using AI just as much as I believe that everybody should have a cell phone, right? Mm-hmm. That everybody needs a computer. We're not using snail mail. We're not using beepers and we're not using typewriters anymore because technology has grown and we need to keep up with it. And so I love AI. I will say that it's always to be like, I always want to be mindful. And I always say like ChatGPT, Claude, whatever tool you use, it's a tool and it's going to get you 80 to 85% of the way there. And it's your responsibility to A, read what it gives you, especially if you're going to use it for email marketing or posting on social, and B, give it your own brand voice and zhuzh it up so that it feels like you. But I don't think there's any problem with saving time using AI so that you can have more time to go to your kids' baseball game, have dinner with your family, and serve your clients well.
No, I agree. There's definitely... it saves so much time again, but you do have to make time, in my opinion, to learn how to use it effectively, right? Because I've seen people that like, oh yeah, I got ChatGPT. I'm like, great. And then they show me something and I'm like, hold on. Do you know what I mean? This sounds like straight from an old school encyclopedia. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't use this. Do you know what I mean? What prompts are you putting in? So again, just like you've got to take time to learn email marketing, taking time to create a podcast, whatever it is, I still think you're still responsible for understanding how AI collectively baseline works, you know?
Exactly.
Because if not, that's where I'm seeing it go really wrong. Now, this is good. So we know email is essential, right? We need to be growing it. We know that you don't have to rely on social media all the time to mean to be growing it. Now, there are so many different ways to grow an email list. There's like, we could probably have a whole other podcast just on that. But yep. Today, I'd love for you to share the strategy that you've developed that will help the listener out there to create a long-lasting lead machine that will ultimately help them stand out as the expert and to grow their list consistently. Can you share with us what that looks like? Because I know that's kind of like your go-to expertise.
Yeah, it's really my signature offer at this point, and I call it the Micro Audio Summit System. Yep. And there's no like hidden agenda. It's micro, it's small, it's audio only, and it's a summit. You bring some people together and you access other people's audiences. Yeah. And basically, I kind of got tired of the big summit model. And so I flipped it upside down and I created an event style lead magnet, if you will, that I would want to attend, that would work for me, that I could listen to and absorb and consume in the pockets of my day where I had time, be it out on a walk with my dog, waiting in line to pick up my kid at school, cooking dinner, whatever, right? And I really love the audio format, very similar to a podcast, except that it's private and people pay with their email address. So basically, if they want access to a micro audio summit, they sign up and they register. And what I have found since I developed it in like 2021, like 2.5 years ago, I guess. And since then, it's gotten better and better. And I've now added some AI, you know, fantastic stuff, magic to it. But what it boils down to is this: it's a 100% organic lead generation strategy. It grows your email list with high quality leads that are really well targeted because you spend time figuring out who your speakers are going to be. Mm-hmm. And so when you bring that small group of speakers together, it's a win-win for them because they're not getting, you know, overshadowed in a big summit of 30 something speakers, right? It's a win for your clients and your potential clients that are listening because you're not overfeeding them content and putting them in what I call an information coma. Mm-hmm. And It's great for you because it's super easy and low lift to create. So I do it once a quarter. My clients mostly do it once a quarter. And it's the way that I recommend. It's the best way I've seen to grow your list organically without having to, you know, drop money into ads.
And you said there, you said not to, because I agree. I've done a lot of summits. I probably get pitched 10 summits a week. Do you know what I mean? Literally my inbox is always, and that has to do with my SEO because I rank in page one and fluctuates between page one, spot two for business coach. So I'm always getting hit. Do you know what I mean? With these summit requests.
Yep.
And there's like, you know, 20, 30, 40, sometimes 50 people, you know what I mean? In there. What do you recommend if someone's going to do like a micro audience summit? What's like the sweet spot for the amount of speakers that you would have?
So typically I recommend to my clients, if they're doing their first micro audio summit, that they shoot for 6 interviews. So 6 speakers plus their own interview. So it would be 7 interviews max. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I will go to 8. As I mentioned, I just wrapped up a micro audio summit called Ditch the Algorithms, Win in the Inbox. It was all about email marketing.
Yeah.
And I had 6 speakers plus myself. So there were 7 interviews total. Yeah. That's the sweet spot because you give people enough information, enough actionable information that they get moving and you're not overwhelming them. And what happens is that those big summits serve a very, you know, specific purpose, except that it takes the attention away from the host. Mm-hmm. When the more speakers you have, the more of less attention the host gets. And so you really want to keep those attendees who just joined your email list engaged with you, as well as provide them with high value information from the other speakers. So I find that 7 is the sweet spot.
And with that 7, obviously people's attention span is getting less and less over the time. And so is there a sweet spot also for interview time?
Yeah. So what I find most of the time is like, I'll get emails the day that my micro audio summits drop and I'll get people that like 2 hours after it drops, they said, I've just listened to all the interviews.
Yeah.
So I try to shoot for about 30 minutes per interview because most people listen at 1.25 or 1.5 speed, right? So 30 minutes is going to be about 20 minutes and they can binge listen 3 or 4 at a time. They can decide what they really want to listen to first. And then they get home or they get to their desk and they can actually take some action and think about how could this strategy or how could this tactic really work for me in my business. And that's the name of the game. Like at the end of the day, I tell my clients, what do you want your attendees to walk away with?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Because that's the main thing is you want to, I always see things where they do it really bad and it's all about the host or all about the speakers. But I'm like, that's like a one-way ticket to compromising your brand, trust, credibility, authority. It's like, give exactly that listener what they need, make it feel useful, let them have a transformation. It's okay to, you know what I mean, lead with value and love first, and you can still be profitable, but we get in our heads a little bit.
Oh, for sure. And there's so many things that like I see hosts of big summits do that I think is so, it's disconcerting to me because if I, you know, I would say like, look, you're the host. Why are you letting people, for instance, send in presentations that you aren't the interviewer? Like people actually are setting themselves up for not keeping the attention of their new leads. And I think that's a problem. If you're going to spend time, any amount of time on a marketing strategy, make sure that it really pays off for you. And especially with organic. And I will tell you, the amount of time I spend on creating a micro audio summit and also speaking to those 6 or 7 speakers, those are my next partners and collab, you know, people, Angela. Mm-hmm. Like that's the reality of it. You get to meet people that you would never potentially come in contact with because you have this wonderful, you know, very specifically targeted event that you get to invite them to. So it's a win-win all the way around.
And then with that, you say partners later, but would those 6 speakers be sharing to their audience the micro audio summit?
Yes. So basically, similarly to like a big summit or a bundle, each of the speakers will, you know, announce and share that they're involved or they're a speaker, they're an expert in the micro audio summit, they're sharing to their list. And in return, with all the speakers sharing and with being able to share a free resource, everybody wins, all the speakers win. And because it's small too, there's a unique benefit for the speakers because the spotlight is shown on them. And with six or seven speakers, each one really stands out on their own merit and on their own expertise.
So 100%.
Yeah. So really, you're not just asking somebody like, hey, be in my summit of 50 something people and also share your email list. It's like, be in my really intimate, well curated, small scale event and share this event with your audience. And you're giving your own audience something of high value. So it works out really well.
And with people out there that are like, okay, this sounds really great, this sounds awesome, but then they're like, panic, tech, do you know what I mean? Oh my gosh, do you know? Where, for example, like, because I think people, if they know a little bit, you don't have to do the hows, do you know what I mean? But if they know, like, for example, where would they host these audios? Like, do they have to then go buy another platform to host it? Or could they put things in their portal all that they already are paying for? Like, you know, because this is, I think, what stops people from taking any action. They already fear it being bigger than Ben-Hur. So tell me a little bit about, like, how would they, like, where would they just host it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to what we said at the very beginning of this interview, simplicity and systems, right? And when I built the system, I figured like, okay, how can I create something that I can use, that others can use with the software that they already have, with their existing tech stack? So if you already have a form software, and everybody can use Google Forms for free, if you already have an email marketing system, if you've basically been in business for at least a year and you have like the basics, a landing page software, an email marketing system, let's see, a scheduling software because you want to schedule interviews, and Zoom, you can host a micro audio summit. The one software that sometimes people need to add, depending on what they already have in their tech stack, is the Hello Audio software. That's the platform I recommend.
Yeah.
And that gives you the ability to host this private audio. So whereas this podcast, for instance, is what I would call a public podcast. It's syndicated out publicly. Anybody can listen. They don't have to give you any information about themselves to listen. With the Micro Audio Summit system, they, again, pay with their email address. They don't pay with money. They don't have to buy an upsell to keep access. They pay with their email address. And so with Hello Audio, that allows you to create this private feed and basically gate the content.
Yeah.
Above and beyond that, you know, there's other platforms that do it. Captivate does it. Let's see, Kajabi has built-in audio now. So I have found that for the most part, if they're going to add any software, most of my clients have everything they need. And then this is the one software that they probably need to add to their stack. And it's super easy to use.
Yeah. Love it. Absolutely. Because I just feel like that's the thing is people are always like, this all sounds great, but I don't even know where to start, or I don't know what I'm going to need. So now it's too hard. So I'm not going to do it. Thank you though. And so I'm just like, I try to give them as much picture as they can. Obviously we can't go into the house. That's how they can work with you. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously we would be here for days trying to talk all that through. And so this has been awesome. And you know, for the listener out there, that's like, you know what, I actually, this sounds good. I'm in alignment with this. It sounds quite easy. It sounds like it's going to flow. You know, how can listeners to connect with you and find out more about how they might be able to learn from you to do this specifically for their business? What do you have coming up? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. So as of the time of this recording, I have a masterclass that I'm going to be recording live to a group. And people can either register live, depending on the timing of this, or they are more than welcome to come and listen to the recording. I always love to recommend that people either watch one of my pre-recorded masterclasses or come to something live or reach out to me on DM so that they know a little bit more and can go a little bit farther than what they heard here to see if it does really truly resonate with them, with how they like to run their business, with how they like to manage their time and you know, show up to their audience. That's really the most important thing. The other things like the tech, I mean, I want it to be easy for people. So I want people to spend time serving their clients, not worried about like tech headaches. So I feel like all those things are really easy to accomplish and to help people with. But really, the system itself and the strategy, if you love audio and you love consuming content via audio, via podcast, this is a system that will very likely work for you.
Oh, I love it. And I love also thinking outside the box, trying something new, you know, in a world where everything is that you talk about. There's a really great book, Blue Ocean, and they, you know what I mean? They talk about like that red ocean that you brought up before where everyone's doing the same. You hear the summit. You don't hear often about the, do you mean, audio summits. So I think, again, you'll stand out a little bit more in that noisy space. So I absolutely love it. Now I've got one final question before we wrap up. And that is, looking back on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
Oh gosh, I have had so many starts in business, and I've been doing marketing for a long time. I started in project management. And so I guess if the one thing that I wish I had known then is that not to sweat the small stuff so much. And also the other thing was, is that for many years, to be quite honest, I let my anxiety stop me from showing up and being visible, be it on podcast interviews or on social media or in email. I always had so much anxiety that it prohibited me. And had I realized, you know, long ago that it's actually a superpower and I can use it to my advantage, I always feel like everybody has something. And if they get over the fact of worrying about what those people that aren't their ideal client thinks about them anyways, business is going to be so much easier. So, and I just, you know, and I love a good pivot every once in a while too. It's okay to pivot.
100% it's okay to pivot, but yet, do you know what I mean? People think they just got to keep doing because if they pivot, they're a failure, whatever. Pivoting is healthy, right? Pivoting is great. However, what I will cave that though, is that there are sometimes people do pivot too quickly, especially in startup stage, when it's like they've released a new product, they've launched it once, and they only got 10 people in. And they thought they should have had a 5,000 person launch like Amy Porterfield on their very first launch. And I'm like, hold on. And then they pivot because they think they've got to create a new product because the first one didn't work. So I'm always like, if you're out there pivoting, there's a time and place to pivot. Don't pivot though, if it's just testing it your very first time. You got to give it a couple goes and then make that informed decision. So I always like to give a little caveat on that one. So yes.
Well, also, and that's where, you know, a business coach like yourself comes into play, where when you start to doubt yourself, when the mind junk creeps in and you think it's time to pivot or you feel like you're not doing as well as you could, that's really when you need to lean into your business coach and have them like help you and say like, no, it's not the time to pivot. This is normal. Hold the phone, stay the course.
It's funny you say that because in my mastermind the other day, one of the ladies, she had been running a quiz. So quiz one was like, from a vanity metrics perspective, was the winner. Quiz two had lower numbers, but I said, okay, like on the front end. So meaning the amount of people who had signed up for her lead gen. And I said, well, hold on though. I was like, go and look at what was the conversion rate off of each of those quizzes into your product.
Yep.
Because she wanted to stop quiz two and double down on quiz one, because again, it had more people download, right? Mm-hmm. But when she looked at it, the quiz one only converted at 1.5%, even with higher numbers, versus quiz two, which had lower numbers, but had a 4.6% conversion. And I was like, this is what I mean. We look at the vanity metrics and don't dive deeper. So she's like, okay. She's like, thank you for having me do that. You know, so she's like, we're not going back to quiz one. I was like, you know, but it could have been different. The data could have said that actually quiz one was the hero, right? But until you dive deeper, we start to make assumptions, then we pivot. And we can like screw ourselves, you know, so always look for the data, you know, dive a little deeper. But listen, it has been an absolute treat to have you on the podcast today. We will include all your links in our show notes. And what social platform do you best connect with if they wanted to get the direct link for the masterclass that's happening this week? Are you on Instagram, Facebook? Where could they find you?
You know, most of the time you can find me over on Facebook. I have a very active Facebook group where you can join and find speaking opportunities in other people's micro audio summits and summits and bundles. It's called, Summit Speaking and Collabs. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really fun place where very specifically, it's an opportunity where you can start to grow your own visibility, and people can always reach me over on Facebook. It's the best place.
All right. Absolutely love it. Well, listen, have a beautiful day back in the good old of US of A. I hope you have a beautiful summer, and I look forward to staying connected. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.